Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 18, a familiar portion of Scripture tonight, but the Lord really impressed upon me this week in my devotions this thought. Proverbs 29 and verse number 18. For those of you who have taken me up on the challenge, if you've yet to try this, you ought to try to read a proverb a day. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. There's 31 days in the month of January. So pick a proverb and read it each day, and you'll get through the whole book of Proverbs in a month. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18. Let's read it out loud together, please. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, when it says no vision, it's not talking about physical blindness. It's not talking about the absence of this type of vision, physical vision. The word vision, when I looked it up in the Webster, said intelligent foresight, a vivid imaginative conception, or a mental image that's produced by imagination. We were up talking to Miss Philpott, and we miss her, and we're so glad we got to see her. But it reminded me of the time when my mother was in the hospital, and they'd given her certain medications, and she started to see things. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about that kind of vision either. I'm not talking about hallucinations. I'm talking about the intelligent foresight, that mental image produced by our imagination, that of something that is not yet realized. Do you understand? Vision is that mental image or how you conceive something. It's a forward look and a goal, a lifestyle, a habit, something that you're wanting to see happen or God is moving upon your heart. More importantly, that's the best way to get vision, is to have God give you that mental foresight, that imaginative conception of what you're to do or how you're to become in the future. It's a goal. It's something we're pressing toward. When Paul said, I press toward the mark, he had an idea in mind. He knew what that mark was. He knew where it was. He knew how he was going to get there. He didn't know when he was going to get there, but he knew how, and that was pressing toward it. He wasn't just willy-nilly, like a BB in a boxcar rolling around. He knew where he was going. He knew what was going to happen. He wanted God's will. He was pressing toward it. So a personal vision is necessary because, quite honestly, you've got to stop living your life through your rearview mirror. You really do. You can't look at life through your rearview mirror. We'd been married several years, and I'd got one of those little Honda Civic hatchbacks. You know what I'm talking about? It had the hatchback, but only two doors. So I would fold up like an accordion and get in it. You know, it was banana yellow, Brother Jim, banana yellow. And that little monster could go. And it had a little four-speed on the floor. That was an upgrade from the Chevette I got rid of. And anyway, so I had this little Honda Civic. And in my past, we used to have muscle cars around the house all the time. Chevelles and Transams and Camaros. And I'd grown up getting in and out of those cars and driving those cars and having fun with those cars. And so I'm heading down Route 74, and I come up on a series of muscle cars that are going to a show, obviously going to a show. And as I get up on the first one, I come out and go around it. And for a moment, that little Honda turned into a muscle car. One of those heavy metal American steel Detroit muscle. It was an old Camaro. And I just, you know, I'm cruising along, and I'm imagining what it'd be like to be in the seat of my brother's 67 Chevelle, you know, and rumbling down the road. And I'm musing upon this, looking at him in the rearview mirror as I pass him, all the chrome and the paint was gorgeous, you know what I'm saying? And I'm watching him go by because I'm driving fast. I got to get somewhere, and all of a sudden my pager goes off, and I realized I was on the wrong freeway going to the wrong town. I'd missed my exit because I'd spent the last 20 minutes looking that way. You cannot live your life looking backwards. You cannot live your life looking through a rearview mirror. You got to forget the past because it doesn't matter anymore. How many of you have used your high school achievements recently on a resume? Anybody? No, it's not just our past failures. Right? It's our past achievements. They don't matter anymore. They're in the past. Your past is a great place to be from. And wishing for a better one isn't going to fix it. You need to have a God's vision for your future. It's a great place to be from, but not a place to live in. Our future is coming. And waiting for us, waiting for things to just fall in our lap is not God's plan for us. He has a plan for us. And it's our desire, it's our need to have his vision for our life. Where it says again in that verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now vision, as I said, is that mental image produced by our imagination, how our future ought to be. That image of something that's not yet realized, the conception of something that God wants us to accomplish. Now, the fear of failure is one of the big things that keeps us from trying, keeps us from wanting to achieve those things that God wants for us in our life. I mean, physical vision is easy. We see it in advertising all the time, don't we? Physical advertising, that advertisements that you get on your phone and on the internet and in your email and used to be getting in your mailbox and things like that, like clothes magazine, Kohl's. Kohl's is always has a men's section now, and they're showing you what the clothes would look like on a guy. And that would be great if I look like that guy. You know, I've walked into several clothing stores, and I said, pardon me, ma'am, do you have men's clothes? And she looks at me like I'm stupid, and I said, no, do you have men's clothes? And she says, well, that's that whole section. I said, no, but that's the boys' section. I need something for a man. Huh? If you need mannequins my size. You know, and that's the thing. Physical vision's easy. You see yourself. That's why the car dealers have Chevy will put out those commercials and you're driving or, you know, tough like a rock or whatever. And you're thinking, oh, I could have a truck. And you can visualize that, of course. Physical vision for your future is easy. Jenny Craig has made millions trying to show us what we could look like. I'm getting those stupid emails still from Abs After 40. And this is what I could look like as a 51-year-old man. Yeah, well, you know, that's easy to try to visualize. But God is talking about a spiritual vision for our life. And we need to start looking at things from God's vantage point. Have you ever gone back home to where you were raised, maybe visited the high school or the elementary school that you used to go to, and you try to sit in one of those chairs, you know, like the desk chairs? We really did have desk chairs back then. I know it was a long time ago, but remember that? Trying to sit in one of those chairs, and you think to yourself, I remember it being so much bigger. Right? And you don't remember the stairs being that hard to climb when you were that age. And now, why is it nobody taught kids to go up on the right and down on the right? What is that? Well, we lost that, didn't we? We lost that battle. You ever go to public school lately? Everybody just comes down. They don't go up the right and down. Anyway, we bump into each other. But you ever go back to school and you think, this was so much bigger when I was little? You know? And you figure out the vantage point has changed now that we're adults. Things are never like we think they're going to be when we're 13. But the problem is we're looking at it from the wrong vantage point. Our vision needs to be from God's vantage point. Helen Keller said, the only thing worse than being born blind is someone having sight but no vision. She was born blind and deaf. And she said, it's even worse when you can see but have no vision. And I think if we'll look at the world, look at our lives and our future from God's vantage point, catch his vision, we'll know why we're doing what we're doing. Now, it's true, those who are lost have no vision for the things of God. They think it's foolishness. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 3 through 6. Now, salvation is where the spiritual healing or the healing of spiritual blindness really it starts. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 3. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Look at this. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Do you understand that salvation is where spiritual blindness ends. When we get saved, God opens our eyes. He opens our understanding. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Have you noticed, since you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that the way you look at the world has changed? Some of the things that you used to really like, you don't have much use for anymore. And some of the things that you always thought would be exciting, they're not really all that exciting anymore. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Have you ever just sat back and wondered at the vile foolishness of some folks? I mean, you just kind of step back and you go, you really don't see that that's a baby. You don't see that little thing in there sucking its thumb? You really don't understand that the elderly have value? You don't see that. And you look at these people and you think of the vile foolishness and you just kind of stand like, really? You don't see this? You can stomach sodomy and homosexuality and you think it's just another lifestyle? How do you look at that and not see that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Have you ever just kind of wondered and went, because they're lost? I used to be lost. I wasn't so young when I got saved that I don't remember what it's like to be lost. I remember what it was like to be lost. And back then, I was truly blind. And I could not see from God's vantage point. And now that I'm saved, I have the opportunity to see things from God. And I look at them and I say, wow, then you really think that way? I used to think that way, but not anymore. Did you know that the Word of God is actually God's point of view about everything? Yeah. Take Isaiah. Look at this. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Look at this now. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. We had a couple Bible studies last night with back to back, but it was really fun because in each one of them, I got to talk about how this is God's point of view. I'd been studying this, and I got to say, you know, let me show you something. This is what God thinks about everything. You have just cracked open the mind of God. You actually have got in his head right here. It's so cool. Look at Isaiah 8 and verse 20. Look at this. It says to the law, you actually ought to memorize this, write it down, highlight it. To the law and to the testimony. That's the Old Testament, five books, and to the historical books written before this. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Do you realize that everything needs to be compared to God's word because this is God's point of view for everything? Well, what does God think about that? Well, let's look it up. Well, what does God think about this? Well, let's look it up. Well, he wrote it down. He bothered to write it down. Isn't that cool? This is his point of view. But the Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, our text verse, the last part of that verse says, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And since they're using the word "but" there, that means what I just read is in contrast to the first. So the opposite of keeping the law, that word vision is having no understanding of God's point of view. You're not looking at the world from God's point of view. The Word of God brings sight to the spiritually blind. That's what 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. No, and let's be honest, lost people have no concept of God's word. So where there is no vision, there's no prophet, there's nobody expounding the law, there's no priest, there's no Levite teaching the knowledge of God, there's no teaching on the means of what it means to receive grace from God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says there was no open vision. The word of God was precious in those days. That means it was scarce. And wherever that case is, the people perish. Where there is no proclaiming of the Word of God, where there is no understanding from God's point of view, the Word of God, the people perish. And they perish foolishly when they don't have to. You know, religious people can also be blind. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. People who know the Bible can be blind. Look at Matthew 23. Look what it says in Matthew 23 and verse number 13. Look at it now. We need to catch a personal vision from God and God's word for our life. Look at this. Matthew 23 and verse 13. It's all based on the word. He says, "But woe unto you, scribes and, and, as scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. This is verse 13 of chapter 23. For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And he goes on and he berates them and he berates them and he berates them. And he understands that they know the word. They know what God says from his vantage point, but they don't follow it. They don't live it. And he refers to them as blind. He refers to them as fools. And in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, we find that the Jews are still just as blind today as they were back then. In Romans 11, 25, the Bible says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, Jesus said the whole reason he came was so that he could dispel spiritual blindness, so that people could see with a vision from God, from God's point of view, where they are, where he is, what he's done for them. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse number 18. In Luke 4, 18, Jesus said, this is the whole reason I came. He's quoting the prophecy in Isaiah. Look at Luke 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind. In John chapter 9 and verse number 39 through 41, he's talking about the blind man, and he says in verse 39, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. His mission was to heal spiritual blindness. And the truth is, blindness can come upon us as born-again believers too. It says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. But back last week, we talked about 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what Peter wrote in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. We talked about adding to our faith. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things. This was written to Christians. The person who does not add to their faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience, those things, he says, is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We can see, we have sight, but many times as Christians, things cloud our view of things. You ever wake up and you have an eye that's matted shut? You ever have one of those illnesses in your eye? You know what I'm saying? I haven't had pink eye, but I had kids, and every now and again, they'd get a booger or something in my eye, and it'd swell up, and you'd wake up, and it just wouldn't quite open up. You know what I mean? And as Christians, we can get diseased in our eyes like that. We can let things cloud our vision, the cares of this world, the desire for riches. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me. Now, Demas has served the Lord. Demas had gone through persecution. But why did he forsake Paul? Having loved this present world. He'd let his vision get clouded by personal goals of maybe financial gain or comfort. You know, we all have to have our own spiritual vision for the future. Now, a lot of people express it in goals. I like to make goals. I like to set goals. I like to shoot at something. You know what I'm saying? When my preacher, and I know I say that all the time, Miss Mick. She gets tired of me going, you know what I'm saying? My preacher, when he was little, there was these buzzards floating around over his daddy's farm. And his dad was shooting them with a shotgun. And he'd shoot one, and they'd lock their wings, and they'd just come in like a kite and land, you know? And he said, here, Bob, you do it. So my preacher, he's just a young man, he gets up there, he closes his eyes and just pulls the trigger. And the preacher's dad, he said to him, son, even with a shotgun, you have to aim. What are you aiming at? What is it that God has given you as a vision for this coming year for you personally, as his child? What is it you see yourself doing a year from now? How are you going to be physically? How are you going to be financially? How are you going to be professionally? And quite honestly, those three right there are easier for me. Physically, financially, and professionally. Because why? Because those things typically satisfy my flesh. Those are neat goals. I love working on those three goals because I can see them. They're much easier. And they make my flesh feel good. And they kind of satisfy my ego. But where do you see yourself a year from now spiritually? In January of 2019, where will you be? This is a bit tougher because I'll be quite honest, my flesh does not really relish the things that satisfy the Holy Spirit. They are contrary to each other. And I believe if we're not growing, we're dying. Have you ever wondered why? Well, maybe you don't. You guys get this all the time. The whole cost of living raise is new for me. I never got that till I moved here. That's all new for me. But you know, it dawned on me why they have that. Because that means last year's pay doesn't cut it in the current climate today. Right? Well, spiritually, last year's efforts are not going to keep pace with tomorrow's challenges. Do you understand? Last year's spirituality, where you are in your walk with God, is not going to be enough to face tomorrow's challenges if you're not pressing toward the mark of God's vision for you as a person. That, you know, you're the only person you can control. You really are. If you haven't had a two-year-old around lately, you'll need to be reminded of that. You're the only person you can control in this life. What will your prayer life be like in 2019? Are you challenging yourself now to go beyond what you've been doing? It is for us to pray, not for the task. Helen Keller said, it's not for us to pray for the tasks equal to our power, but for power that is equal to the tasks ahead of us. Will you be giving to Faith Promise this year? I remember the first year I gave to it. Will you be increasing? You know how Faith Promise works? Faith Promise is, I'm asking God to give me money I don't have so that I can give it to missions, and I'm a conduit. I don't get to keep any for myself. So I've asked God for a pretty big number this year on a monthly basis. I'm asking him to give it to me so I can give it. And you know what, Brother Jim? On day three of this year, he's already given me all I asked for this month. I've already got January's in the bag because I asked for it. It's not money that I have in my budget. Not that I shouldn't stop eating McDonald's and put that money toward missions. That's not a bad idea. But the truth is, I'm asking for money I don't have. So God will give it to me, and then I promise to give it to him. As it comes in, it goes like this. Have you ever found yourself on your knees asking for money from God? Saying, God, I need this. I want to give to missions. I want to give to missions. I want to give to missions. That's a challenge a man put in front of me one day, and God stirred my heart with it. That's Faith Promise. Will you be praying to increase your trust in God this year? Will you be targeting people in prayer for salvation this year? Will you be asking God for something big? Why not? Last year's efforts spiritually is not enough to face tomorrow's challenges. You need a fresh, fresh dose from God. Do you have a personal vision for your growth? It says, where there is no vision, you, the people, perish. Do you understand? What's your vision? Number two, do you have a family vision? Where do you see your family at spiritually in 2019? I know I said 2019, because a year from now. What you're about to do for the next 12 months will determine where you as a person and you as your family will be spiritually on January 3rd, 2019. What's your vision? What is it that God is leading you to do? Do you realize there just seems to be some new attack on the family every time I turn around? some new app I got to watch out for, some new device that's creeping into our home, and new thoughts and new things that are against God's word. And the truth is, the blind can't lead the blind, Luke 6 says. Will you be more faithful in 2019 than you are so far? Will you be more involved in serving? Will your family be more involved? Will the amount of spiritual effort it took to get you here, are you willing to put even more to get you to the next level that God has for you? Because if we're not growing, we're dying. It says where no vision is, the people perish. Where do you see First Baptist in a year? What will FBC, what will First Baptist Church of Kingstown look like January 3rd of 2019? You realize if we have a repeat of years previous, we're not going to get to wherever God wants us to go. 2019 hasn't been written yet. 2018 hasn't happened yet. But the challenges we're going to face are going to take more of God and more of His point of view. It's going to need something special from God. Every year seems that just something new comes up. Where do you see us in 5 years? Where do you see us in 10 years? Ask that about yourself. My preacher would always challenge me, as a person, as your spiritual growth as a person, where will you be in 5 years? What will you be doing in 10 years? What will your family be doing in 5 years? Some of us are looking forward to some of our kids marrying and moving out. Where will you be spiritually, though, as a family in 5 years or 10 years? Where will your church be in 5 years or 10 years? Would you be happy if it just stayed the same? Will the amount of effort and sacrifice needed to grow discourage you if we repeat last year? If 2018 is just a mirror of 2017, is that going to be good enough for you as a person, as a family, as a church? Is that okay? Is that my preacher used to say, good enough's not enough if better's possible. There was a saying going on down in El Paso, well, it's good enough for government work. But it's not government work. It's God's work. In my heart, it's God's work. In our family, it's God's work. And this church, it's God's work. If we have a repeat of 17, or maybe do we want to repeat 16 and 18, and where will we be in 19 if we repeat 16 and 18? We repeat 15 and 18. Or if we repeat 1986, and I don't know, I wasn't here. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? You know, vision without execution is another word for hallucination. But this church needs to be more than just a place we attend. It just needs to be more than some place we get together every now and again. So where will the First Baptist Church of Kingstown be in 2019? Where will it be in 2023? Where will it be in 2028? What if we just repeat the last 5 years? Will we be able to meet the challenges that come? Are you afraid of the future? Does it bother you what's coming? Take your Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. I believe that the vision Peter gave in this little phrase at the beginning of the verse sets the tone for our personal growth, our family growth, and our church growth. And I'm not talking about numerical. I'm talking about us as a body of believers growing in our faith, growing in our love, growing in our service, growing in our compassion, growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Look at what Peter said in 2 Peter 1:1. He said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I love that phrase. This hit me like a hammer last week when I was preaching on it, and I really didn't expound on it much, but do you realize that Peter was saying, I am a servant first. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ first. Oh, and I'm an apostle too. That I was a servant for Jesus before I ever got the vocation. And if I don't have that vocation anymore, I'm still just a servant of Jesus Christ. Are you a servant first of Jesus? I get to stand by the bedside of many people many, many more so recently that have passed, and I stand at their casket or their urn. And they were somebody in the world. They had clearance. They had rank. They had money. They had wonderful times. There's pictures playing on these big TV screens, and there's poster boards of their life. And they were somebody. They weren't some hick like me from Central Illinois. They were somebody now. They saw the inside of the Oval Office. They've seen the inside of the Pentagon. They've done things. They've been places. But did you realize that there came a day when their vocation was over? And they put their entire career in an old white paper ream box for copy paper. And they walked out without their credentials and the ability to walk back in. And now somebody else sits in that office and sits in that chair and at that desk and at that computer and has really no knowledge of the person who sat before them, really, because people move around so much. They don't know or care. There is coming a day when your vocation is ending. Whether by age or by illness, your vocation will end. And then what will you be? See, the vision of God for you is greater than your vocation. It actually should be the core of who you are. Peter said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Whether I'm an apostle or not, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Whether I ever preach again like I did on Pentecost, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Whether I ever speak in tongues again, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Whether I ever get to travel again, whether I ever get out of this prison again, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Whether my body lets me go on in the ministry or not, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. It's not something he did. It's who he was. So what is your personal vision for the future? The Bible says, back in our text, it says where there is no vision, where the Word of God is not central and the point of our existence and what we're doing and what we're trying to become, the people perish. See, because without a personal vision, you as a person perishes. Oh, you don't lose your salvation, but you basically end up with a dead life. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Without a personal vision for your family, do you understand that your people perish? They stop growing. They stop going. They stop giving. They stop serving. It's all pointless after that. Do you realize as a church, if we stop our vision, if we get rid of the vision God has for us, then this community perishes. It's all about God's vision. That's what it is. So, let me ask you a question. Is this just a place you attend? Is this just some place that you gather? What is your vision? Is it just some place you serve? You know, it's funny. I came to a place in my walk with God when I realized that I was no longer a field engineer who went to church. I was a Sunday school teacher who served God, who happened to make a living as a field engineer. So when God called me in the ministry, yeah, I walked away from a lucrative career. We had this big house with property and an in-ground pool and outbuildings and a big circle drive. But I wasn't a field engineer anymore. I came to a place where I realized I was a servant of God who happened to make a living as a field engineer. Do you realize that your life's work should not just be something you can wrap up in a box and take home? That your life's work, We think of Michelangelo and the Sistine Chapel. We think of all these other great painters, composers, and we think of their body of work. Do you realize that's not near as important as what you've done for Jesus Christ? Because what you've done for Jesus Christ will survive this life where nothing else will. That which we do for ourselves and that which we do for physically in this life ends. So what is your vision for your personal growth in 2018? What will 2019 look like because of 18? Will you pray more? Will you believe more? Will you give more? Will you go more? What will your family look like? You know, as a pastor, this church is not just some place I work. It's not just some place I get paid. This is my life's work because I'm a servant of Jesus, whether I'm a pastor or not. He just pays the bills by pastoring, but serving God is who we are. I was explaining to a man last night at a Bible study. I said, do you understand that the only difference between me and you is I have a calling to do this vocationally, where you have, you've been, God has called you to do this vocationally. But we're both servants of Jesus Christ. My opinion is no greater than yours. My word is no greater than yours. My understanding of the Bible, you know, I have no more ability than you do. I have one vote, right? We're all equals. See, when you read through the scripture, that's God's point of view. And when it comes to your personal growth, what is the vision God is giving you for your growth? I can tell you right now, it's that area of your life where you resist him in. That little area of your life where you keep saying no. That little area of your life that you avoid, that you hope your spouse doesn't bring up, that you hope your children don't bring up, that you hope I don't preach a message on, because that's an area of your life that God has a vision for, but you're saying, gosh, can't we just focus on the other things that are easy, like a diet and a financial program and investments, and can't we focus on the things that come a little easier to me than that area God keeps kind of... On Facebook, you can poke people. You ever poke people on Facebook? I've never done that. It's just kind of a way to go, hi, I'm here. Don't forget about me. You poke people, right? That little area where God pokes you, that's his vision for you. And so often we think to ourselves, if I just don't look at it. Do you ever feel that way about the dishes? You come downstairs and you're just like, I don't want to look at it right now. I just don't want to look at it. And you walk into the bed, you walk in the coffee maker and you get your coffee out of the Keurig and you walk into the living room and you leave the kitchen behind, because if you don't actually see it, it won't actually bother you and you can relax. That little area in your life, personally, where God pokes you, that is that area that God has a vision for you to grow in. But it's easier to I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. There's areas in our family where God pokes us. We want to ignore it. We don't want to look at it. Because we got this going. This is good. Isn't this good? Well, yes, this is good. But what about, but what's wrong with that? Look, why do you always bring up the negative when I'm doing this good over here? Well, that's fine. And we're happy you're doing this over here. But how about this? And God pokes. But as long as we don't look at it, we just look at the things that come easy. We think somehow the next year is going to turn out better. You know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different outcome. That's insanity. Expecting life to come the way you want it without any effort or any planning, that's foolish. Only dead fish float. Paul said, I press toward the mark. So what is God's personal vision for you? What is your life's work that'll matter in eternity? And lastly, we need to take somebody with us into our future. We who know the way should be going the way and showing the way to others. That's the vision of God. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, teach thou unto faithful men who be able to teach others also. We need to have a burden in our heart, but also a compass in our head. Because the truth is, God has laid it out in his word, and it's ours to push forward to. Together, I believe if we go together, we'll strengthen one another rather than be dead weight. Because a vision without action is just a dream. But action without an actual vision is just drudgery. But vision with action will change our world. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Where there is no vision, where there's no understanding of God's word, where there's no adherence, where there's no new revelation in our heart, or illumination in our heart, I should say, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Our Father and our God, we do not know what we'll face in 2018, but you do. We do not know the extent of the grace we will need to face it, or the empowerment and wisdom and discernment we'll need to avoid things that we should avoid. And we dead sure don't know what it'll take to accomplish what you have for us. But Father, we want you to do the work. Do the work as only you can. Give us that vision through your word. Start with us as individuals. Change our families. Impact the church and the community at large. And we'll praise you, for you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, will you please have the faith and the courage to ask God right now what his personal desire for you as an individual is. Ask him to give you a vision for the growth he wants in you. Dad, the family cannot follow a parked car. Will you have the courage to ask God to give you a vision for your family? And church, won't you ask God for a vision for what he wants to see accomplished in his body right here and in its community? As she plays.
Redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out.
Won't you pray? Won't you ask God to reveal to you his word, through his word?
Rid me of myself. I belong to you. Oh, lead me.
The altar is open. Do you know the Lord is your Savior tonight? Have you called upon him to save you? Saved? Are you following his vision for your life? Are you following his word? Let's take time and talk to God tonight.
Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me, lead me to the cross.
Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Our Father and our God, we come tonight thanking you for your word, how it's true from the beginning. Now every one of your righteous judgments endureth forever, and we're thankful. We are comforted by that. And Father, we look to you tonight for that vision from your word for our life as an individual for the life of our family, for the life of the church and the community we serve. Father, please speak to us. Let this be the year of revival. Let this be the year of personal, intimate revival with you and us as people. We ask that you would speak. We ask that you would do great and mighty things because of who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. Thank